Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. As of this moment, you're joining with the community, a family of poets, writers, and creative people from around the globe. Welcome home, and welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the March 9th, 2018 edition. We're sitting here in a beautiful Denver, Colorado at the moment, but we are also aware that there are plenty of adverse weather conditions all around the country, and so we're with you, and we want to make sure everybody's okay. We're happy if you're joining us. It really means a lot to us. My name is Michael Amadei. I'm one of the hosts here. Sitting across from me is the man who keeps this thing going. All of his toes do things that are quite important, I'm told, during the show. I'm pretty impressed with your dexterity, my friend. It's sitting across from me is Mr. JT. How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's been a good week, though, right?
Yeah, I've actually gotten some results of things that were problematic.
Oh, you're clean, huh? Finally?
Yeah, finally.
Finally. The way you phrased that sounded so
totally
so out there. Okay.
No, everything is
so it's not Little Mermaid down there is what you're saying.
That's right.
Or it's not SpongeBob. The Krabby Patty is not a
Yeah, it's not an issue anymore.
That's good to know. That's weird. That's a weird thing to bring up when I ask you how you are. I gotta be honest. I mean, I guess it's real.
Well,
you ask for honesty here.
Yeah. I mean, trying to be honest.
Okay. Well, there we go. Anyway, the new World Poetry Open Mic, civil is free. Moving on. No. So, it's been a really good week. I hope everybody else has had one. It's been a really interesting one literarily for me as far as writing and all that.
Yeah.
I've been trying a new method, trying to knock out a book in fast order.
Yeah.
And it's taken a lot of work. It didn't quite happen exactly the way I thought, but it happened at least 50 to 60%. So I'm going to try to wrap it up. Once I have it figured out, if it works, I will be cluing everyone in. I'll let everybody know how I do it in case you guys want to try it too. But we'll see. You know, we'll have to check it out. Anyway, we're really looking forward to hearing everybody else's work. There's going to be a few things tonight that are kind of worth noting besides the poetry that will be shared, which is, of course, the biggest piece. But the second piece will be announcing the next three clues for our March 2018 Poet of the Month. Oh, yeah. Poet of the Month. So that's exciting. And then the next part will be Studio X.
Yes.
We're going to be doing a Studio X as well. And looking forward to that. Got a couple songs worked out. I think it'll be a good time. And then we'll also have the return engagement after the fact. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show. We also have a submission lined up, but I will bring that up when it comes time to do so. So here are our rules before we start doing a call-in segment. Number one, have your poetry ready. All right?
It's always a good rule.
Yes. Just have it ready to go. When we come on the line, we might briefly chat for about 10, 15, 20 seconds. After that, I'm going to step back, and I will let you know, and I'll say the floor is yours. Read, and then we might talk for a moment or two after that. We're just going to keep things moving. That way it's not dragging. We give people more time to be able to share overall and more callers be able to share. So that's a big thing. Number two, no hate speech. It's been the rule from day one.
Yep.
That's just not what our show is about. And then three, we're also not about censorship. However, we do try to skew PG-13 because sometimes we have family members or family that listens. You know, we're trying to foster the love
and
of poetry.
Young people.
And young people, just like we did last week.
Yep.
So let's try to keep it somewhat clean. If, you know, however, if you have a good artistic flow going, if it actually does make sense, we'll be a little bit more lenient because we're, like I said, we're not in the censorship business. But if it gets a little too out there, if it's getting a little graphic, we might jump in and suggest you read it during our After Dark segment, which we do once a month.
That's right.
All right. So our first segment will be five unique callers. We just need five people. You will be put in the order in which you call. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. First segment, let's go.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. And we're back here for the first segment of World Poetry Open Mic, this evening's edition, which is, of course, March 9, 2018. Later on, we will be announcing the next three clues for our Poet of the Month.
Yeah, Poet of the Month.
So that's exciting. And then, you know, we'll be doing a Studio X after, I think, probably the second, maybe the third segment, depending on how many callers we get.
Yep.
We have five great callers lined up right now. But first, I'm going to lead off with a submission that was from, let me get it pulled up here really quick, from Namrata Santoki. Namrata, I'm sorry, I just wanted to make sure I was saying your name correctly. And if I left a syllable off, I would feel horrible. She left us a note before the poem starts. She says, "Our life has become too busy in making our lives that we forget to make a life," which I thought was interesting. "Nowadays, life has become too hectic and complicated, and we should give time to relax and rewind." And yes, of course, one of the ways is to attend this show, World Poetry Open Mic. "It gives a new opportunity and enlightens my life as I wait for Friday night." Well, Saturday morning for me, per the time zones of India. This is a poem representing finding ourselves and relaxing among nature. The title is "Chasing the Silence." Here we go. "I stood there upon the tiny hill, looking towards the green forest. I started my venture, chasing the silence, through the skyscraper trees, as if reaching the sky, the nuts scattered around, the squirrels gathering them and disappearing into canopies, into the silence, the twigs crunching under my feet as I walk through the dusty paths, laden with leaves into the heart of the forest, into the silence. As I walk through the peace, only voice of buzzing insects and the chirping of birds mesmerizing me, separating me from worldly rush into the silence. As I walk out of forest, I stood in the open meadow among the fireflies and sparkling stars, decorating the night sky into the silence. I'm filled with joy of the day with nature, enchanted by God's creation, bright and beautiful. And that is what happens when chasing the silence." And that was "Chasing the Silence" by Namrata Santoki, sent to us through, I believe, the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net. If you would like to submit poetry, if you're listening and you either can't be in attendance to read or you just want one of us to read, generally it's me, but you can request JT's voice if you would like. We can definitely make that happen. You can either send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or you can go to our website, worldpoetryopenmic.net, and just put it in the contact form there. Those are the only two ways you can submit a poem to be read. So don't tag us on Facebook. Don't send it to us on Facebook. Don't send it to, you know, JT's sister, Becky, who lives in Wisconsin. Don't do that. He doesn't have a sister named Becky that lives in Wisconsin. That would be strange.
It really would be.
Right. So don't do it. Let's just go the traditional route. So those are the only two ways. WorldPoetryOpenMic.net, contact form, or WorldPoetryOpenMic poetryopenmic@gmail.com. Let's get into the callers. We're going to go first to Vancouver, British Columbia, with one of our favorite poets. Leading us off will be Cynthia Sharp. Cynthia, how are you?
I love the opening tonight. What a beautiful piece you read by Namrata.
It's a beautiful piece, isn't it? I was very, very encouraged to see it in the email box when we were getting ready for the show.
I love the meditative mood it created.
Yes, it was wonderful. And I'm sure you have nothing but just raging poetry, right? You're going to take us right out of the meditative mood like you always do.
I'm actually reading my darkest poem today.
Oh, okay, never all mind. Right. I'm all gothed out already, so this will be perfect.
So this is called Shadow Girl. I'm writing some dark novels and doing some dark theater. So this is my darkest poem. It's called Shadow Girl.
Okay.
I wash my hands till the cracks bleed and my chipped black nail polish vanishes. The pain we eloquently carry, too deep to be directly spoken, rises in luring rhythms, glacial rivulets. We bathe it in loquaciousness, make angel wings of heartbreak, abuse, injustice, create feathers to lift ourselves from it, carving stories through fingertips. End poem.
That is a dark one for you.
Like my only dark one.
Well, it sounds like you're going through your dark period, Cynthia. This is
as opposed to the blue phase.
Yeah, this will be Cynthia Sharp's dark period, 2018.
My tiny dark period.
Yeah, it's all right. That's all right. We all need those moments and themes that move through our lives. I find them to be really, really powerful, and I always look forward to it when I see a new period kind of coming in. I'm always interested to see what'll come out of it, and I'm excited to see what comes out of this one for you.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having me on your show.
As always, thank you so much, Cynthia. You're always welcome. And that was Cynthia Sharp leading us off, calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, with her dark period piece. I don't think that even means anything, but you know.
You try. It's okay.
I try. I think maybe that, I was thinking that could be a really good thing for my gravestone.
Yeah.
Here lies Michael Amadei. He tried.
Might work.
Or there's no trophies for eighth place. Actually, the best part would be if I had loser. There's no trophies for eighth place, loser. That would be something that you would be walking through the graveyard and suddenly look over and go, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
So maybe there's an entertainment value there.
There is.
There's no hierarchy among pleasures.
Nope.
Let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. There is. There's no hierarchy. Hello, Barbara.
Let's go to Barbara in Connecticut.
Hi.
Hello. Good evening. How's it going?
It's going.
Oh, good.
It's going, you know. Let's see. Tomorrow, I'm going to read this poem that I'm going to read now as my very first featured poem, you know, poet thing. So yeah. It's called Woman Scream, the event. I've spoken about it before, and yeah. It's actually here tomorrow afternoon.
That's exciting.
So anybody who lives in Connecticut and wants to go hear some awesome poets. Prince A. McNally is going to be there and a few other people. And I'm looking forward to it because, you know, just always meeting someone from Facebook is fun. And, you know, that's pretty much it. I don't know if, I think I told you guys, but I wasn't sure. Maybe last week.
No, you definitely did. You definitely did. So how about this? Let's have you throw down the poem one of the poems you're going to read tomorrow, and then we'll quickly remind them again after the poem.
Yeah, because this poem I already read on here, but I'm reading it again because I feel I need the practice. I think I stumbled on it, so
you're playing
I
the
want
hits.
To read it as perfectly.
Yeah. She's playing the hits. All right.
Okay.
It's like Rolling Stones knocking out Can't Get No Satisfaction. Here we go, Barbara.
The essence of a woman, She is the essence of all things soft and comforting. She is the gauze you can surround yourself in, the protective cover as you wade through the challenges of life. She is you, and you are she. To each other, we are a mirror. Within its depths lies the key to all of us, a deep chasm where some men fear to venture, for it's forced me, suck them into the powerful wave that is us. We are deceptive, delicate as spring rain falling on new-grown grass, smooth, gentle, and coaxing on the outside, yet inside we are raging rivers of passion and surprise, anger mixed with tenderness, and scorn mixed with compassion, dwell within our seemingly fragile bodies. We are the power behind all humans who breathe on this earth, and we are the ones who create cocoons in which we breed our young to face the world, all the while resisting the urge to hold them a little longer. We crave affection and lavish it on those we love, garbing ourselves in silks and satins and donning jewels to adorn our bodies, just for the smile of the man and his sensuous touch on our bare skin, awakening the lust within us all. And we are the seekers of truth and the arbiters of right and wrong as we attempt to placate and correct the wrongs in front of us, trying all the while to keep a balance. Yes, I am part of that, we, for I am a woman, and I walk hand in hand with all women as we strive to live in this world that doesn't realize the chicken had to come before the egg. We are important. We are the past, the present, and the future. I am one of the we's who have shaped the past and hope that my daughters will rush into the force that beams from us all to light the way and to create a better world by being here and being a woman. End poem.
That's right. I remember that one, Barbara. It's a powerful piece. So, okay, really quickly, because we'll move it along, tell everybody about where the event is and what time it starts in case they want to come join you.
Okay, this event is in New Hartford, Connecticut, and it starts at 3:30 in the Beakley Library, and it goes until 5:30. So they're having that event, and then they're having something in a cafe at 7:30, open mic. So if you live in Connecticut and close to me, it's not that close to me, it's like an hour and a half, but just, you know, I am also, for those people who asked me to, going to record it. So my part anyway, so it might be on YouTube.
Okay.
All right. Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, we'll talk to you during the return engagement.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
And that was Barbara Arentrout calling from Connecticut. She's getting ready for her first feature tomorrow. I think that's really exciting. If you get a chance, check it out. Or if she posts it later, make sure to pay attention to it. You know, give it a like, leave a positive comment, compliment her shoes. That would be a good one, too. But preferably her
especially
poetry.
If you can't see them.
But the poetry is the thing to actually think about.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I always thought it's funny. You see these comments online of, and they're just so hilarious, you know.
Okay.
And the vernacular and the actual, like, terms that are being used are so funny. Like the yes thing that's been around for years now.
Yep.
What is that?
I don't know.
And then calling everybody, you know, queen or king. Like, yes, queen with a fire emoji.
Yeah.
Like, she's literally sitting there eating a pretzel. Like, what what the hell is this? Sorry, I'm just ranting now. Anyway, let's go now to Dennis in Michigan and check in with him. Now, he actually has figured out who the poet of the month is.
Okay.
He actually did. Hello, Dennis. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing? This is Friday night. It's all good.
That's right. We're happy to be here, and we're glad that you're here also. Sorry about the mix-up of the messages. You sent me the pen name of the poet of the month. And the opposite. You sent the real name of the poet of the month, and I looked at it and thought, well, it looks familiar. No, that can't be it. That's on me. Dennis got it.
No, that's okay.
It just gives him plenty of time to prepare.
You kind of got. you kind of got me when you with your first answer that no, it wasn't it.
You're like, you're like,
I'm thinking, oh no, where did I go wrong?
I like to keep everybody on their toes. That's what this is all about.
You did, and all right.
So, what do you have for us this time?
Well, when I got in the chat room, Raj Kumar Muherty asked me to read a poem for him, and I'm not sure it's complete as I have copied it, but I'll honor that request. He's not always able to call in for himself, yet he wants his poetry shared, and I understand that.
Absolutely.
And appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this poem. The title is I Know Not When. It's by Raj Kumar Muherty. I know not when my nerves have become strings of violin, my steps turn to dancing mudras, my voice sings in ragas, slokas of the ancient civilization. I know not when and from where I gathered the wisdom of centuries at a stroke. Now my soul is awake to your rhythm. The mind is filled with your songs. I cannot stop dancing, even if I want to. End of poem.
It's a beautiful piece. It sounds very complete the way you read it there. It has a kind of a roomy feeling about it.
In the picture, there was a picture of a dancer, and there was a roomy quote with that picture, but I could not make it out on my computer. Otherwise, sure, I would have shared that also.
Sure.
But you're right on. There is a roomy influence to this.
The rapturous and all of that. I love that. That's wonderful. And a great read, Dennis. Thank you so much. And thank you, Raj, for writing such a wonderful piece.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate him calling from India and his participation is the best he can. And we're glad that he's part of the family.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless you too, Dennis. Thank you for everything you do for us too. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, one of our longest callers, actually. More than Ellie. He's our longest standing supporter, and we just appreciate him so much. Now, the next gentleman is another longstanding supporter. However, he is also my preferred voice for the end of the world. This is Stan.
When he calls.
Oh, Stan's got a call in. Yeah. I always forget about that.
Yeah, he's got a call live.
That's okay. That's okay.
That's okay.
So today, I told you about this earlier. I'll tell everybody else. I was sitting there with the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Denver today.
Yes.
I had lunch with him and a few other people. And we were talking about saints. And he said, hey, you might have a saint in your family. He just threw that out there as hyperbole. And
Hey,
Stan, how's it going?
It's going.
All right.
He's got to be great.
Hey, that's what I say. But, you know, sometimes people have differing opinions.
You don't mind if I beat James to the punch, do you?
No, not at all.
Dilly dilly!
Oh, come on. It's not a thing. Don't argue with me, JT.
They had a song, didn't they? Dilly dilly! Dilly dilly, didn't they?
Yeah. They also did Louie Louie, but, you know, that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, but the weird thing is we still remember them.
We totally do.
Yeah.
I remember going to a big recital, and I was there with, like, three or four doctors of music, and I think people who all played with Dave Brubeck at one point, and my father's there, and I overhear one of them saying, well, I don't know if there's technically sheet music for Louie Louie.
I don't think there is.
Lost it. Well, I think there actually is. My father's actually no joke of a musician himself. He's actually very, very good. But it was just, how do you get into these conversations, Dad? But at any rate, All right, fine. I accept the Dilly Dilly reference begrudgingly. What do you have for us this time?
Well, I'll tell you. This is a piece that I wrote and sometime back. Kind of explains where my heart and my head are at, in a sense, in a relationship I was in. And it's called Heart to Hands. You are my love, my muse, my everything, my devotion beyond just words and rings. I'd move the world to bring light to those eyes. Love's obsession, I cannot disguise. You fill my soul with warmth and grace. I'm a slave to my passions with no disgrace. With calloused hands and my soul, all I can give. This I offer in prayers that our love grow and live. A working man's life is what I can give to provide, protect, by my hands, love, and live. By my words and by my bones is where my love stands. To you, I offer my all, from my heart to my hands. With briar-like hands on your silken skin, my ardor for you inflames from within. Entangled as one, our passions explode, then embrace in the bliss of sweet afterglow. Yet let the fire of anger arise in your eyes, or a doubt of my love or devotion arise. I will know such pain as my soul starts to weep, flowing tears outside me and inside so deep. A working man's life is what I can give to provide, protect, by my hands, love, and live. By my word and by my bones is where my love stands. To you I offer my all, from my heart to my hands, and peace.
Wow. That was a powerful piece, Stan.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I really, really enjoyed that. And I think there's some sentiments in there that a lot of people can share.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a blue-collar look at it.
Yeah, but you know what? I find more and more intelligence with the blue-collar way of looking at things a lot. You know, I think that's... and I don't mean in every case, obviously, but I remember growing up, you know... And I know you know this, growing up as a creative kind of person, life just feels more complicated. Like making art is harder than going and being just a workman or something. And I remember going once to a party and talking to these guys who were plumbing apprentices. And they would go work, and they'd come home, and they'd have beer, and they'd hang out with their friends and barbecue, and then they'd go to bed and wake up and go back to work. And I remember thinking, man, that sounds so good. I thought... That sounds amazing and so simple. And I tried to do it. I thought, okay, this is what I'll do then. I'm just going to stop screwing around and doing this art thing, and I'm going to go try to become a plumber's apprentice. I hated it. It was like it's like throwing a cat in the bath. It was like the worst thing ever. And but I've always aspired to be blue collar. I don't even know what collar I am. I don't really care. But I do admire the wisdom. There is a lot of wisdom and earthiness to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, well that's also a part of upbringing. I was raised in a blue collar family. I mean, even in the 50s, both my parents worked.
Yeah, wow.
Started when I was 15 because that was the whole life philosophy. You work, you earn, you live. That was it.
Yeah,
that simple.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Well,
now what we need is for somebody to put that to music.
All right. I'll work on it. No, I mean, I think there's something there.
Wink.
Yeah, no, there's something there. And I'm deep into working on finishing up the songs for the next album. So I can actually lay down something people will be proud of and people can enjoy. So maybe I'll spend the time with
them. I can't wait to hear that.
Hey.
I am looking forward to it.
Oh, awesome, Stan. That means a lot to me. It really, really does. And I appreciate everything you bring to the show. Thank you so much.
And on to the next.
All right. On to the next. We'll see you in the return engagement, okay? And that was Stan in Alabama. Man, that was a cool piece. All right, now coming up next is another caller from Michigan. This is George. He is fast becoming a strong member of the family here on the show. Welcome, George. Good evening.
Hey, good evening to you, too.
It's happy to hear your voice. By the way, and George, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up. On my daily podcast, I've been talking about kind of what I'm trying to do with my health and everything, what I've been doing every day. And George, you posted some stuff kind of under it talking about what you're doing. And I got to tell you, it makes me so happy to know that there's someone else out there kind of thinking about it and doing it too. It's kind of, there's a kind of camaraderie that happens, and it just really made my day. Thank you, George.
Well, goodness knows I need it.
I think we all do.
Yeah, it's a long run up. We, in the cold weather here, you really can't get out and do the kind of things. So
right.
Went to a gym the cold is starting to go away. In fact, I think I have PTSD from this winter.
I don't think anybody would blame you.
Yeah.
It's funny. We have like a ritual when winter ends because it sometimes never ends. And you know, one of them is, of course, if you think it's the last snow, you need to run out and write your name in the snow.
Yeah.
Which you only ask guys will understand that one. And then we have a toast when the snow shovel goes to the cellar.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But we make it.
Oh.
And I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're happy you're here, too. We really are. So do you have for us? What do you have for us?
Well, I have one that I wrote several months ago, and I honestly don't recall if I read it here, so I'm going to read it again.
Okay.
It's quite short. It's called Love and Little Lies. Clad only in lust, they came to the mattress. Long memories of touching, no need for preface. Sometimes had gone well, some bittersweet too. At times it was hunger. Sometimes love took them through. At first they had watched each other, and now they looked away. Passion didn't need love, but 'twas better that way. They'd passed through some doldrums where love was pretending, and neither one knew what would be their ending. Then, burdened with, again said, I love you. Neither one had the courage to say something new. End of poem.
Nice. And what a real situation that can be. Man.
Yes.
No, I really enjoyed that one. JT, what'd you think?
I enjoyed it as well.
I think I like that some people's styles gravitate towards I don't want to say flowery language, but maybe more intricate language.
Mm.
However, you know, George, I think and of course this is never meant to pigeonhole anybody, but I think in that one specifically you're using simple language to convey really powerful ideas and something that I think a lot of us have felt, and it works very well.
Well, that was actually my goal, to get a little bit of brevity out of what can be a complicated poem.
Yeah.
And so I shortened it, actually. But I appreciate it and the compliments, and I'll wait for the return engagement.
All right.
Great.
Thank you, George. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you then.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that was George calling from Michigan as well. God. Always had great poets calling from Michigan. Yeah.
So you got to finish up your saint thing.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sitting there, Archbishop, and he's kind of just talking to everybody at the table.
Yeah.
You could have a saint that in the ancestors of your family. And I said, I do. And that's true. And I said, Bartholomew of the Amadés. That's an actual, canonized saint. He's one of the seven founders of the Servite Order from a long, long time ago. And everybody, was so amazed, of course, wow, that's so incredible. I go, yeah. And I just couldn't help myself. I go, it's amazing how many wealthy Italian nobles became saints during that time period. And I just let that hang there. And no one said anything, including the Archbishop, for about 45 seconds.
Wow. That's a long silence.
I got to watch my mouth sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, hey, so that's been a wonderful segment. We're not done yet, though, because I need to announce the next three clues for our March 2018 Poet of the Month.
Yeah, poet of the month.
You know, I really love that announcer there. That's
it's pretty good.
It's amazing. I'm really psyched about that. I think we have quality theme songs on this show. Speaking of which, thank you. Anyway, all right, here we go. The next three clues for this month's Poet of the Month. Come on!
Yeah, Poet of the Month.
All right, here we go. The next three clues, I'm not going to say it again, JT. I'm not going to say it again.
Are.
Number one, mathematics to keep the clock running late. Number two, you should get these. These are meant so people can get them.
Oh, okay.
Number two, feline moon smiling down.
Okay.
JT's really trying to pull these ones together. And three, wield your Vorpal sabers. You don't have them?
That can't be right.
Yeah?
Nope.
Okay.
Those aren't right.
Okay.
I think you're...
They're totally not right.
I was going to say...
They're totally not right.
Those are last ones.
I pulled up the wrong one.
I'm sitting here going...
I'm like, I already read these. I know I did. Am I just living deja vu? No, I'm just being an idiot. Let's do this.
Okay.
I'm gonna get the
to
right
tie
stuff.
To where I was. Wait a minute.
This is when I don't have the form. That's a problem.
My fault.
No, it's not your fault. It's my fault. So anyway, guys, I apologize for that one. I thought I had the right one pulled up. I had labeled it wrong. Let's do this. I'm going to have it ready to go for the beginning and next segment.
You got it.
And then we'll just do it there. My apologies, guys.
So those clues are for last month.
Yeah, so if you think you know who the poet of last month was, just say it in the chat room because everybody else pretty much knows and you're kind of late to the party. Here we go. All right. We need five more unique. I swear we're intelligent sometimes.
It's okay.
So we need five more unique callers. So if you have not called in but you'd like to, this is a time, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic. Let's do this.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this, I won't mess around. I won't waste your time when you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back for the second segment. Now, we won't waste your time here. We don't like to waste your time unless, of course, we're giving you fake clues for the Poet of the Month.
Yeah, Poet of the Month.
Well, that's exciting. Hey, you know what, JT? I think, can we make up for what I did this last segment and actually give the real clues?
I would really like that.
Okay. So this is for the March 2018 Poet of the Month.
Woohoo! Poet of the Month!
You know, I'm really glad we recorded all of those. I feel great
about
that.
Pretty impressive.
That's really impressive. Just like on a dime, man. All right. Here we go. This is the actual next three.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Number one, unscholarship to Oxford. So it's like a scholarship, but an unscholarship. Two, damn it, Jim, I'm a poet, not a doctor. And three, even though it's slightly repetitive, 50 words for breakfast. Now, you got to get those.
Okay.
Those are made to be pretty straightforward. But if you think you know, send us a message. We'll send you a picture of JT holding a piece of bacon going down a water slide. I don't think we have a picture of that.
We're going to have to work on that one.
Photoshop.
It's a little cold right now here in Colorado for swimming pools and water. I could go down a water slide.
We just add it in.
Well... Yeah, but I mean...
I could just Photoshop your head on some...
Oh, yeah, we could do that. I didn't even think about
picture
that
some
way.
Girl in a bikini going down a water slide, just your
JT's
head's on top
head
of it.
Right there.
There we go. Perfect. That's what you'll get if you get it, maybe. If we remember to do, we get a lot of stuff we're doing over here. All right. But if you think you know, don't say it in the chat room. Just send it to us here. Unless you've already said it in the chat room, then shame on you.
That's right.
Those were the second set of three clues for March 2018's Poet of the Month. Poet of the Month. That was the fancy version.
That was a fancy version.
Yeah, that was a good place for it. All right, hey, we're going to head in now to the callers. We're going to go right now to Chris from Lansing, Michigan. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hello, good evening. How's everything going?
Oh, I'm living the life of, I want to give some hate speech.
Oh, like that, huh?
But it's true karma, man. It's true karma.
Ooh. All right.
Well, you guys remember I picked up a couple of computers.
Yeah.
A brand new tablet.
Right.
Well, they sent the one that wasn't pictured, so it was false advertising.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And, man, it's got one USB 2 port.
What?
That's ridiculous.
Oh, yes. And it's 32-bit only system.
I love these
people. And I've called them up. I can't send it back. It took me 9 days, to get it working. But I got it working, so I've really got no reason to send it back because, hey, it works, you know, just because I was foolish enough to believe what the picture was.
That's crazy.
So, anyway, oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
So karma is a bear because I'm not letting them get away with it. I call them half a dozen times and they haven't changed the picture. I've told them each time that the picture is wrong. I even got them to admit with one of the calls that, well, yeah, this is what it was supposed to be. The representative said, well, this is what it was supposed to be. I said, well, that's not what I got. That's not what you sent me.
Yeah.
Well, let me check, and I'll get back to you. And an hour later, I got an email. It said, oh, yeah, it was, you got what you were supposed to get.
Well, that's very frustrating.
Oh, yeah, but that's Tiger Direct.
Well, all right. And now we know. So nobody or everybody, if you're going to buy something through them, this is the experience that...
Make sure you get what you think you're getting. And I looked at the picture, and I did the research, and boy.
Oh, man.
Karma, man. Karma. Yeah. Anyway, karma. That was my hate speech.
All right.
Okay. That wasn't that bad.
All right. So we'll step back, give you the stage, and we'll come back after.
All righty, man. That was such a sad tale. And to follow it with this one, damn. I leaned softly, placed my hand and gazed into love. I want to touch fingertips reaching toward mine. Gaze into eyes softly smiling back. Listen to a heartbeat while mine is still paused. share my dreams and wander the stars. Whisper of the tomorrows that now are real. As we're bathed in moonlight and life's breath enwraps all there is with magic. Woven into the very fabric of existence, I want to slowly graze the lips that draw and bind me to this world, softly press and taste the heat, that heat that dwells so taut within, till the embers flare to inferno's roar, and our limbs meld into one forevermore. Love. Yes, please. And the tears seeped, filled, fell, pooled on the cold green granite till I remembered how to breathe again, wiped my eyes, softly smiled, lifted my shaking hand, then turned away to go back home and await my turn. The end.
Very, very nice piece, Chris.
Yeah. Like I said, that was a hard piece to have after the other.
Yeah, yeah, understand. Understood, but a powerful one nonetheless, and we really appreciate it. We appreciate the read as well, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Well, this is that time for a lot of people. My neighbor just lost their mom, and some other people that I know have suffered their own life. Mm-hmm. Life happens a lot anymore. Mm-hmm. Anyway, guys, I hope to hear the next one, and I've got one that's a little bit lighter for the return engagement. So
we look forward to it.
Okay, guys. All take care now.
You too. Thank you. And that was Chris calling from Lansing, Michigan. Wow. It's always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we're going to go to Pennsylvania. There's a lot of great things about Pennsylvania. And, you know, that's why it is any state I could call the land of enchantment. And, of course, no one else gave that title to Pennsylvania. However, there's some amazing things that have happened there.
There are.
So, in a way, it kind of is. So, let's go to Jim anyway now. Jim, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Good.
Happy to hear that.
That storm we were supposed to get, at least in my area.
Yeah.
We did get some snow, but it was too warm for it to delay.
All right. Well, hey.
Because we were supposed to get, we had gotten a winter storm warning.
Yep.
And by the morning, it's like, what? There's nothing. I mean, it started to cut loose when on my way to work, and then it died away.
Wow.
But
okay.
It was too warm for any of the snow to really lay. And by the afternoon, there was no snow on the ground.
Yep.
That had been, whatever had been there was gone.
So what was your response when you saw that?
Really?
Yeah.
Yep, I understand that.
It's about my response out here, too, when that happens.
He says that a lot, though, especially when I say something. That seems to be his response also. I don't really know.
It's very true. Hey, Jim, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, I was looking through this one composition book that I had been collecting from years ago, and I came across this one that I thought was apt for what's going on in your life, Michael.
Okay.
It's called "There's a Demon in Denmark." There's a demon in Denmark. Oh, what a time he's had. The prince is dead, his friends and family too. Several murders and a drowning, death by poison to mention a few. And through it all, Hamlet being toyed with, like a puppet on a string. There's a demon in Denmark, and there's one here too. End of poem.
Wow, I like that one a lot, actually.
Yeah. That, that one is just over 18 years old. I was looking and said, wait, I did this back in February of 2000.
Oh, my gosh. And the fact that 2000 is 18 years old, that's craziness, too. I didn't even think about that.
It's like, who would have thunk it or something? Or, I mean, it's like dilly-dilly.
Well-placed. Well-placed, sir.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, the last call when Chris was talking about karma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so he knows that the instant kind is going to get him.
That's very true.
That's very true. Yeah.
I'm waiting for it any moment now. It's going to happen. I've been waiting for a while now. You know, I always have this image that, you know, your life will, you know, very likely won't, but at some point, this universal sense of humor, you will get to some apex in your life. You'll feel like you're just about to make a discovery and step out in the street and a bus will go, boom,
yep,
and you're gone, you know. And it's not morbid. It's actually more of a sense of humor about the whole thing. But I just get the impression that that happens sometimes, and it might just happen any moment. So, anyway, on that happy thought, Jim, dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly!
I might get hit by a bus in 5 minutes. Woohoo! All right. Well, All right. Thanks, Jim. We'll see you.
All right. Thank you.
It's very telling. The only time I think I've ever actually said that is right after I talk about getting hit by a bus.
Yeah, very good.
It's very telling. All right. Let's go now to Arizona and visit with Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
How are you?
I had to come in from the desert to join you. How are you, you poor folks in the north? You poor guys. Come on, hurry up here.
We're at 60 degrees today. It was balmy up here.
Yeah, I was outside flexing and then yelling about how my family was related to a saint.
No, it was 82 and I went to a lake.
Come on!
Don't hate me.
What is this?
Oh, please don't hate me. Don't.
No. We won't.
We could never do
that. My daughter. Yeah, I went with the one daughter. The other daughter was 23 yesterday. She was my little preemie 23 years ago, born 2 months early. 3 pounds, 7 ounces. Thank you very much. 19 days in the NICU. And little Summer came home, and she's an artist. And next to my heart, right next to it, along with the other two daughters. Daddy was gone 16 years ago yesterday, and I have a song, a poem song I wrote, and I'm going to share it maybe on YouTube tomorrow and with you guys today. How's that?
Wonderful.
Sounds perfect.
Okay, it's called I'm Addicted. I'm addicted to the sparks that still ignite in the night. I'm addicted to my visions of you too. I'm addicted to hearts that see beating as mine and feeling in the same kind of milieu. Feeling so strong in your presence too. Feeling so strong when I'm with you. Well, I'm addicted to the swans that seem to float on the lake and remind me how to live free. I'm addicted to bright nights in the shadows telling truth, where they're far more gentle on me to take upon my breath, let you then within me. Take upon my breath, let you be gentle on me. I'm addicted to things that help me move on now. Even though sometimes I still linger, I'm addicted to the voices that gently remind me I've got it all. It's so ringer. To consider each dead gift from within now,
to consider each day now a gift from afar now. From afar now to me. And if it all goes wrong, I'm glad I know you, I'm glad you know me too. And if it all goes down, I'm glad I love you, I'm glad you love me too. I'm addicted to looking forward, truthfully, without all the veils and vestments. I'm addicted to friends who can see what I'm saying with no fuss, no dressing, just friendly. Prime number shaded, uniquely beautiful. The decimals compound here, undaunted, a new deal. Festivals to rest and save ourselves. And if it all goes wrong, I'm glad I know you. And if it all goes down, I'm glad I love you. I'm glad you love me. I'm addicted to love and to learning within it, and even without it all too. I'm addicted to the rhymes and the music of the life now. I'm addicted to the rhythm of new who knew. I'm addicted to the feelings with you, seeing us through and through, darling. Well, with you to my friend. With you. I'm addicted to you.
There we go.
Very, very nicely done, Mary. Thank you.
I hope everyone was doing a little snapping or jiggling or just something. You know,
well, we were doing the wave in the studio.
Oh, God, please. I'm going to take that visual with me and to the next one.
All right. Well, hopefully it's a good visual. Hopefully.
No, it's nothing but the best. You know.
All right. Come on. Doing the wave. Doing the wave.
Give it the wave. Wavy. Bye.
Yes.
And tell your daughter happy birthday.
Yes, please. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona. I love that she popped in. Hey, two guys you don't know said happy birthday.
It'd be hilarious.
I feel like that sometimes kind of happens, and I started leaning into it now, where it's be like, hey, you know what? You tell them happy birthday from me. And they'll be like, okay.
I don't know who you are, but
I'm
okay.
Just like, I hope that actually happens.
Yeah.
All right. All right, now we're going to head to, once again, I'm so excited she's calling back in. Let's go to Bella in South Carolina.
All right, now we're going to head.
Here I am.
Hey, wonderful.
How are you, Bella?
Doing great.
Well, happy to hear it. Happy to hear it. Good week?
Yeah, I just got back from a party, actually.
All right. Fantastic.
We're
kind of feel like this is a party right now, you know, but maybe this is more like the chill after party.
Yeah, it's a chill after party after being around and planning parties for the past week.
Oh.
Yep. That would be it.
Telling teenagers not to burn my house. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big one. Eventually, you'll get to a point where you're yelling at them to get off your lawn, and that's coming. But basically, we're not quite the Bob Ross after party level where it's just super chill and you're just gonna fall asleep. We're a step above that, but it definitely is there. A step above Bob Ross, although he's amazing. I gotta be honest.
Great.
Yes. And the hair. I am so jealous of this hair.
Oh, my goodness. If I had his hair, I would actually cry.
If you had his hair, I'd probably cry, too. That'd be strange. Why would you have that man's hair?
It's a collector's item.
My hair's too long, actually. Yeah. I actually kind of have his texture of hair. Well, so I would cut it short, but it's a lot longer.
Oh, okay. Well, I wish I could grow his hair. His amazing Chia pet like locks.
So nice.
All right. Bella, I'm going to let you read and then we'll talk briefly after, okay?
Okay, great. Not a poet. Was I not meant to write? Not to hold an inkwell with grace? To give the masses my emotions? Well, you see, I am not a tortured soul. I was birthed into a life of mediocrity, not living off the streets, but definitely not being waited upon, beautifully brown baby girl. But before you say it, I cannot be a tortured soul because of my skin color. Avast, I was raised in a fairly white neighborhood and never stepped foot on the wrong side of the tracks. Balls cannot be tortured for my sex because I tend to do all the guy stuff just better. Being able to make jokes out of bodily functions, check. Loving to camp outside and annoy the other girls, check. Always picked first for basketball, dodgeball, anything else involving a ball, check, check, and double check. That leaves another reason why I cannot be a tortured soul. You see, I'm popular with my peers. I'm not the bully or the bully. As stated previously, I tell reasonable jokes and always know where to sit at lunch. Yet, not so high that I fear my position. And also, why does everything in my body have to work? Maybe having more than a headache or a cough, hearing, sight, and smell at optimal function, the breaking of bones happening to others, but not me. And why, if my body must be fine, not my mind? Anxiety has never gasped at my throat. Depression never knocked on my door. Relationship with food has been meh at worst. And I only having mild daddy issues. I fully believe every female in New York has at least had mild daddy issues at one point or another. Now, you see, I cannot and will not ever be a poet. The only chance is when I die. And truly, that is the worst way to be famous. So praying that I look out on someone finding my work and becoming a hit a minimum of a decade after I go. Thank you.
Very nice. I like that one very, very much.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, go ahead.
I get so annoyed. People think that you have to be this, like, weird person that dresses in all black and...
What are you trying to say, Bella? What are you trying to say?
I'm not saying there's poets like that. Everyone thinks everybody has to be a poet like that.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's either a deja vu or I could have swore we had this discussion.
I think we did.
Not with Bella, but with somebody else a few years ago, and you said the exact same thing.
Well, but
they mentioned dressing all in black.
Yeah.
This is weird.
And I'm
great
usually
job,
dressed
Bella.
All in black, and it's all super dramatic. Yeah. Hey, Bella, I really, really do appreciate it. It reminded me of a conversation I was having with a couple of playwrights last year. And I'm sitting there talking to them. It's kind of a noisy place. And I go, you have to understand, I don't really think I'm a poet. I don't really call myself a poet. And they look at me, and one of them goes, you don't, huh? And I go, no, I don't. Do you have a poetry show? Yeah. Do you write poetry? Yes. Do you, in fact, have poetry books out? Yes. And you're not a poet, huh? And it was like, and then she literally goes, I'm kind of resenting the fact that you are a poet and you actually don't know it. And I said, that's totally true, isn't it? Yeah. But no, I mean, great points, Bella. And a poet can be anybody. Yep. And we're
anybody's a poet.
I think so. You know, even the jackass who wrote Dilly Dilly is good for something. So, Bella, thanks so much for everything. And we hope to hear from you during the return engagement if you're still up for it.
Definitely.
All right, cool. I'm going to be playing some music here in a little while. So stick around for that if you want to hear some.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Talk to you then.
Thanks, Bella. And that was Bella calling from South Carolina. Post party, Bella. Sounds like a Barbie, really.
It
post
does.
Party.
Post party. Post party Barbie. Oh, let's not.
Smeared mascara, crying, chunks of vomit on her dress.
That's a totally different post party. Wow.
No. I remember once visiting the Denver Aquarium where I ended up working later, and a friend of mine was there, and I walk in, and it was just nuts. Nuts group of people just running around there in the ballroom there. And I go, what is going on? He goes, it's a sorority party. And I literally see up and down the hallway, there's about two or three groups of girls surrounding another girl who's sobbing sitting. I mean, and it's just
you know
all...
what? I've actually seen those too.
And that's what I'm referring to.
Gotcha. Okay. Those post parties.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Sorority post party Barbie. All right, let's go now to Mama Oladeji. She's going to get me for that one in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Mama.
Hello.
Hello. We're so happy to have you.
Well, you know, I'm ecstatic. So I would like to get some feedback right now.
Okay.
Because I have been here so long since I missed the first part, pulling up all these poems from off of Poetry Soup. So I'm going to do two of these poems, one now and one on in Return Engagement. So here's the names of them.
Okay.
One of them is Thinking About Something that I remember thinking about. The other one is called Retribution Is Not My Dog. The other one is called The Universe Always Says Yes. And then the last one is called Infinity. Which one would you want to hear first?
I think Universe Always Says Yes sounds pretty enticing.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that one.
All right.
The universe always says yes. I had to be because I am. She said no. The no was ignored. He carried on as it was meant to be. She lie there still. Thus was me. Did not come from earth, nor will I be committed back to it. I had to be because I am. I said no. No was not understood. He said yes, and a new son was born. I said yes, but he said I cannot. She came through the storm of my womb. He is because I am. They are because he could. Determined to be, she was because I was also. In the beginning, the universe said yes to child 15, a tired womb, a womb wearies from childbirth. She did not say yes. She did not say no. She knew the answer was always yes. It would always be that for them. She loved them. She loved them. He loved them. She survived them. He endured them. They had to be because the universe always says yes. The stars always shine. The sun never says no. The moon always says yes. So I had to be. So they could also be. I said no. But the answer is always yes. No protest heard. No protest is ever heard. This thing called procreation, this act so forcefully committed or so passionately rendered, mostly without consent, sometimes without love, what must be will be. The answer is always yes. And the cycle continues. And I see all these little me's, and I know now and understand why the no is always silent. The erection of correction stands firm, and what will be must somehow be. The moon cycle says yes. The womb of water that was provided by the seed I was conceived. If not for him, I could never be. So I would never go back to earth, nor could be committed to the ground. I never touched the ground until they put me down to crawl. I stood instead and walked. Days later, I heard a beat drop, and I danced the rest of the way in peace.
Well, once again, a really powerful piece. I'm glad we chose that one.
Yeah, that was a good piece.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the feedback.
Of course. How can the universe say no to that poem, you know?
Thank you. All right.
I know. That was cheesy. I know. But I meant it.
No, it's okay. No, I appreciate it. I mean, it's hard to be, you know, fantastically humorous in the spur of the moment all the time.
Well, hey now.
Oh,
Oh, great. See, Jay, sometimes I feel like JT is on an opposing team.
No.
Yeah. Mama, thank you so much.
That was good.
Really appreciate it.
One love.
Yeah.
All right, bye-bye. See you on the return engagement.
All right, see you then. Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. All right, JT, I've been girding up my loins.
All right.
I've been getting ready. Give me a second here.
One, two,
three. And here we are in Studio X. I do this occasionally. If you're listening for the first time, just do a song and try to put something together that's interesting. And it gives me a chance to play for everybody, which I enjoy. So I'm going to do a couple covers tonight. I'm going to start with just a straight one, and then I'm going to do one that has a little bit more meaning behind it.
Okay.
All right, here we go. There's a song that I love that you once played for me. It had all the right chords and a sweet melody. It was back when we started, when there was mystery. Now they've all been erased on my music machine. And it's all because of you. I got a list of songs I can't listen to, and it's all because we're through. I got a list of songs I can't listen to. Will you still sing alone when you're all by yourself? Or do you switch to the next one, sing for somebody else? When you're cold, don't forget how the song kept us warm. You would dance on my bed, I would lay in your arms. And it's all because of you. I got a list of songs I can listen to, and it's all because we're through. I got a list of songs I can listen to, and I wish the music wouldn't play forever, 'cause I'm feeling like a broken record, and I wish the music didn't play forever, 'cause I'm feeling like a broken record, and it's all because of you. I got a list of songs I can listen to, and it's all because we're through. I got a list of songs I can listen to. That's a hard song to play. really fast eighth notes the whole time. Sorry about that. But thank you very much. That's called List of Songs by Neon Trees. Now, this next song. I wasn't even going to do this until yesterday. And there's a songwriter and a musician that I really, really love named Dan Byrne, an amazing songwriter, amazing lyricist, really witty. He's kind of in that slightly in the Bob Dylan, Paul Simon tradition. Some of his best-known work was never actually heard by him, which is like the movie Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. It's a parody, Walk the Line. Hilarious stuff. He wrote a lot of the songs for that. And he's so distinctive. I even heard the song, and I thought, that sounds like Dan Byrne. And then I look it up, and it was him that wrote it. Okay, so
yeah.
At any rate, yesterday, you know, he does these tours, and he just goes like coffee shops and stuff, but a lot of people go and see him. And I saw a message on Facebook, and he said, I just had an accident with a snowblower, and my fingers on my left hand are mangled, and I'm not going to be playing shows for a while. sorry, I'm going to have to cancel the tour. And of course, there's a massive outpouring of everything. And in fact, Cynthia, if you're listening, or anybody in the Vancouver area, there is apparently a fundraiser to help pay for a hand surgery. Because he's a musician. I mean, he didn't have all this money, and a lot of times you forego medical coverage. You know, you do all that stuff. So anyway, this one is a song by Dan Byrne that I really, really love. And in fact, I'm going to have to change my tuning here really quick. I think this one's a very thoughtful one, especially in an age where everybody's so hypercritical of everybody else. If you say one wrong thing, you get kind of just lambasted. That's why my strategy is just say lots of wrong things. So far it's working all right. People are like, "You screwed up." I'm like, "I know. Everybody knows. I do it all the time." Okay. This is sorry about that. That's called Tuning. It's a folk song. All right. And this is God Said No by Dan Byrne. I ask God. Sorry, let me start that again.
Already.
I met God on the edge of town, where the wind meets the stillness, where the darkness meets the light, where the ocean meets the sky, where the bullet meets the rain, where the earth meets the heavens, on the edge of town, I met God. I asked God, do one thing for me, send me back in time, send me to Seattle, let me go find Kurt Cobain. Take away his guns, take away his bullets. Talk to him, make him wanna live. Tell him how we love him, help him see his glory. God said no, if I sent you back. If you really found him, you would only ask him if he could help you get a deal. If he knows a lawyer, if he can help you. God said no. I asked God, do one thing for me, send me back in time, send me to Berlin, let me find the one they call Hitler. I will stalk him, I will bring him down, I will bring along a powerful gun loaded with bullets, obliterate his memory. God said no, if I sent you back, you would get caught up in theory and discussion. You would let your fears delay and distract you. You would make friends, you would take a lover. God said no. God, do one thing for me, send me back in time, send me to Jerusalem, let me go find Jesus, Let me save his life as they try to kill him. Let me take him down, down from the cross. Take the iron from his body, try to heal his wounds. God said, no, if I let you go, if you really found him walking with the cross, you would stare, tongue no longer working, eyes no longer seeing, ears no longer hearing. God said, time, time belongs to me. Time's my secret weapon, my final advantage. God turned away from the edge of town. I knew I was beaten, and now was all I had. God said no. God said no. And that was by Dan Byrne. God said no. It's a beautiful song. If you get a chance, if you find it, if you like it, consider going and buying it. I think he might be able to use the money right about now. I actually, JT, before we go into the next thing,
yeah,
I had put that song up a while ago on social media. And this one guy that I'm friends with, I had no idea, had been on tour with Dan for a long time. And he said, I remember the night that he wrote that. They were all staying in the house, had been basically in a breakdown, and said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to just, everything's going to be over.
Yeah.
And he was suicidal. So this guy went and hung out with him until he felt that he was no longer a danger to himself. And then he went down to bed. Next day he wakes up, Dan's been up all night and he's really tired. But then he hands him a demo of this song he did on the piano. And the guy actually sent me a copy of the demo, the first song. Some of the lyrics are different. But it's born from a really personal place, and it's just a really special song. So, at any rate, that was Dan Byrne. God said no. I want to say thank you all for listening. Now we're going to be going into the return engagement segment. So, if you want to read for the first time, or if you want to read again this evening, either way, we don't care. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do it.
All right, so it broke.
Smooth like a baby's bottom, JT.
That just broke. I was trying to do something, and it stopped.
Okay.
This is Draven from the Sound Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
That's good.
Oh, my gosh.
Good to know. Hey, so that pie thing isn't an actual advertisement that we're selling on the show. We're actually not selling advertisements on the show.
That was a remnant.
JT, do you have a way of making that be quiet?
I wish I could. I really
do. You don't with that mixer and everything? I guess we don't, do we?
Oh, I guess
this
I could
is
Draven. Do that.
Yep, there you go. That's how mixers work. Okay, anyway. Anyway,
I am so sorry.
So no, we're good. MM Pies was, or My Mom's Pies was a commercial back when we started the show, KZKO. JT's going through and doing a re-edit of a lot of the shows, and what we're looking at doing is potentially, well, there'll be a tighter version, but we're looking at maybe having them uploaded to like iTunes or something like that.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that all pans out, but it's a big project. I mean, guys, we're talking 5.5 years, about roughly 43 to 44 shows
per year.
Minimum. So it's a lot, but he's doing a thorough job. So it's going to be a little while, but he was playing that because that commercial used to make us laugh because it was just so ridiculous,
yeah.
Including the read of the phone number where he's like 303-652 moms. It just used to drive it, like, just make us laugh. So thank you, JT. I needed that laugh. That
no
was
problem.
Good.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. And by the way, I checked out MM Pies. It is actually, it's actually still there.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. Apparently, they're really good.
They are. They
really,
are.
You did
really
have
good.
Some?
Yes.
Now, don't look up mymomspies.com because I think that's a totally different kind of website.
Yeah.
But mmpies.com, is a good one. So they didn't pay for that advertisement,
nope.
You know, or anything like that. We're just playing it for
old commercial for laughs.
Yeah, for whatever. Anyway, we've got, what is it, 9 lined up and a submission.
Yep.
So this is going to be a really, really cool return engagement. But let's get ready. Let me get ready for the submission thing here real quick. They tell me these things here are called submissions. Here we go. Why? Who am I talking
to? I don't know.
It's like... I sound like the candidate for governor who just never wins, who wears like a cowboy hat. It's like,
no.
Where's the cowboy hat? But it's somewhere like New York, where like the cowboy hat doesn't work. And
right.
He's like, I believe in good old fashioned values.
Yeah, not in the city, you do.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, people in the city.
It's possible,
do.
But
girls.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Who you got a submission
Sorry,
from?
I was just thinking about stuff. Okay. Here we go. This one's from James Kelly. He sent this in. Apparently, he was having a hard time calling in. We did see it. It came in, dropped into the email box, so we're going to do it. Normally, we don't do this. Normally, once it's past 8 p.m. Our time, show start time, we won't do it. But, hell, it's James Kelly. What are you going to say? So here we go. This one's called Dream Journal Hellbound. We were walking alone in a vacant parking lot, testing the tolerances on the hinges of doors to the darkest of rooms tucked between our ribs. You were reciting poetry I had never heard, which surprised me because you never seemed like you cared much for it. Strange stanzas crawled up and down my spine as we bobbed and weaved over and around concrete barriers, light poles, and strained silences. Two guys showed up in a ragtop Cadillac. You knew them. I didn't. They offered us a ride. I didn't want to go. I had a feeling in the pit of my stomach that felt like I was drowning. For some reason, I wanted to run, even if it meant leaving you there. You seemed comfortable enough. We climbed into the back. The back seat became a bouncy castle with Velcro strips stitched to the back to where you could jump and stick to the wall. Hang. The car grew larger and larger. The rope ladder in the middle of the castle, longer. We raced our way up to the top as your friend with the drowsy eyes began driving. My heart and my throat sang to my teeth, pulsing worry. You smiled and sat in the back, strapped in, and became still. I couldn't find my place. The car began to swerve and build speed. I could no longer breathe nor hold on. I was being cast about, nothing to hold on to, no walls to hold me in. Eventually, I was thrown right back into the parking lot, where there was a black beater with its trunk open like a mouth waiting. I flew right into the bumper, the mouth closing around my neck. Darkness. When I woke, you were gone. I could still hear you speaking the strange stanzas that drove me mad. I was in the waiting room of an ER. My mother was standing next to me. Standing. For once, in I don't know how many years, she was taking care of me. She'd even look like she was hurting. I was confused and yet gleeful. Even with the fire in my neck, the blood spouting from my face, we waited for hours. We had coffee, light conversation. I was mainly concentrating on how well my mother looked, but every time I looked away, something about the hospital changed. It became a little older, a little more odd. Suddenly the lights began to flicker. In the darkness, some of the staff showed their shadows, their inner truths. They were beasts like I'd never seen. I looked back to my mother. She was covered in blood, crying, pleading for my help. I knew I had to act. I didn't know which direction to turn. I could see light past the entrance to the ER. Instinct drove us there. I pulled her over my shoulder and screamed, in pain, ran as hard as I could. In the room, there were pools of mercury where demons made their way into our plane. I could see them forming. Their grins sparkled like matches, the light that drew us near. I tried to turn around. The entrance was gone. Snap, snap. The beasts were after us. I ran around pool after pool, hoping to find an exit. My muscles strained. My heart galloped. They laughed. When I fell, Mom went in first. I dove down to find her. She vanished. No matter how hard I looked, she was gone. When I came back up, I could see the knives, the sharp teeth, the dancing greedy eyes. But I would fight. And that was Dream Journal Hellbound by James Kelly. I don't understand why that wasn't submitted for the Valentine's Day show, saying that it's such a love.
Actually, yeah.
James, that was incredibly dark but incredibly powerful. And, man, it plays like a short film, really,
mm-hmm.
I think. I could totally see it done that way. And, wow, powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Maybe, if you haven't considered it, maybe see if you can find someone who will partner up and kind of animate some stuff with you. I think those things could be really strong. Just a suggestion, just a thought. All right, but let's go now to our first caller in the return engagement segment. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis.
Oh, I'm back.
All right, you're back. Round two.
Wow, that was a heavy poem by James Kelly.
It sure was, wasn't it?
That really dug right in.
Yeah, I was reading it going, man, this is an intense one, you know? It was taking me places.
Thank you, James, for sending that in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what do you have for us, Dennis?
I'm going to lighten this up a little bit. I'm going to talk about writer's block. The title of this poem is Writer's Block Tanka. Goes like this. Blank paper stares back, defiantly mocking me. I grab my scissors, fold and cut pattern outline. Now I laugh at paper dolls. Next sheet taunts me too, laughing at my feeble ploy to regain control. It gets folded in defeat. Origami, sweet revenge. The sheets that remain whisper of my sure demise, fall into the shredder. Inspiration now arrives. Where'd all my darn paper go? End of poem.
You know, writer's block is such a such an interesting topic. You know, it's something that I think we all contend with. We all have had to deal with so much. And I remember sitting with a couple friends of mine who are newspaper reporters. I talked to them about writer's block because I knew they had to write every day. I mean, I wondered, how do they deal with it? And their response kind of blew me away. It kind of put me in my place. One of them smiled and goes, writer's block's cute. We don't have time for writer's block. And I thought, well, it's probably easier if you're not having to make stuff up. But at the same time, that put me in my place and made me go, oh, yeah, maybe I need to figure out how to get around this thing.
Yes, it afflicts us every once in a while. But
oh, yeah.
There are ways around it, and we sometimes just have to step away in order to give us ourselves some space.
That's right.
And then open our eyes to all the input and inspiration around us.
You got it. That's exactly it's a perfect way to put it. Well, Dennis, thank you so much. Really appreciate you and everything you do for the show. We see what you're doing, you know, kind of inviting other poets and everything. It really does mean a lot. Thank you.
Well, yes. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has something special to say. And I'd like to encourage everyone. And it's good that we get to share our own, but it's good that we enjoy and listen to others too. So
yeah.
That's what I like doing, and I know that's what you have been all about all along. So I thank you so very much for being here and allowing us to do that. Well, I'm going to step aside once again. Let the next poet step up. I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, leading us off here in the return engagement. Let's go now to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back.
Well, thank you. That was a great treat from Dennis.
It really was, wasn't it? I liked that one quite a bit.
It was entertaining. I didn't know where it was going. I loved it.
Very cool. All right, so what do you have for us?
So this is my poem from the Garden of Prose and Poetry, and it's one where Titus gave us the prompt. And I wrote this in February when it was really cold here. We had a really very, very cold Arctic kind of snow come in that looked a lot like the ash from Mount St. Helens when it erupted. There are pictures in National Geographic in the 80s of Washington covered in ash. And that's kind of how Vancouver looks when that kind of snow comes in. It's not really a fun snow. It's a freezing one. So I wrote about what it would be like for the homeless. So this takes place in Pigeon Park, which is very concrete, a very impoverished area, and where there's a lot of people struggling with drug addiction. So it's called Pigeon Park. In the nadir of wintry isolation, frosted ash turns the city to stone. Eerily quiet, numb, the homeless toss on frigid park benches. Traverse solitude, quiet epiphanies in the rhythm of travel as life catches up with itself. Crescent moon evanesces in the cold sky, reborn each day into the choice to continue. End poem.
That was an interesting one. I love the turns of phrase there.
Yeah, Titus gave us two new vocabulary words for me, evanesces and nadir.
Oh, see, Titus.
Yeah, I had to look them up.
That man has a gigantic vocabulary. Let's be honest here.
I love that I get to learn. I had to practice pronouncing them too.
Yeah, yeah.
Nadir means kind of the worst point of depression, the worst part of the worst thing.
So I can use that at Applebee's tonight, is what you're saying.
Definitely, you can use it anywhere.
I'll throw it around.
I hope I've been getting this right. Evanescence is to travel.
All right.
I think you might have to double check it.
I'll double check. Okay.
But Titus enlarges my vocabulary all the time.
That's wonderful. I will. I'm going to start throwing around really large, complicated words just willy nilly. I'm like,
random.
Tomorrow's a cheat day. I'm going to make a point of going to like a ridiculous fast food place and trying to use nothing but gigantic words and see what happens.
That'll be
and then
fun.
Report back next week.
All right. I will. I'll let you know how it goes.
Thank you
All
for right. having me on the show.
Thank you, Cynthia. You're always welcome. We appreciate it. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Another great piece from the evening.
Stan,
woohoo! Stan, give us a call.
All right.
So, JT, we've got a lot of stuff coming up this year, and I'm not going to make any announcements tonight.
Okay, good.
But I mean, we've already have made the announcement about the magazine stuff
yes.
and all that, and we've got a lot of stuff. But this is really a pivotal year for us. But hey, we're not going to talk about that now. Let's go to Stan in Alabama. Hey, Stan, how's it going?
How we doing?
We're doing good. I jumped right on you when we answered the phone. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Well, I'm going to shut up now.
Really?
Come on. No. It's been a fun show.
Yes, it has been. It has. And some great reads, too.
Yeah, I think so for sure. So what do you have for us?
Well, this is going to be a short one. It's called End, Begin, Repeat. From nothing to nothing, time only exists to measure what exists. End, begin, repeat. Sunrise and sunset, light back to night, together mark one day. End, begin, repeat. Death begetting life, and death's return to dust, room and sustenance for life. End, begin, repeat. Light to night to light. Life from death to life. From time to nothing. One constant truth. End, begin, repeat. End peace.
Wow. That reminds me of all the time is a flat circle philosophical stuff there. Wow.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's provoking.
I find a lot more sometimes what I express, even though I have been getting into doing longer poetry.
Yeah.
It's to return to brevity.
Yeah.
It is.
I think it's true. You know, I think there's a place for long-winded stuff. You know, but I think that a lot of times it's the people who write and speak too much usually are because they don't have the ability to edit themselves, and as opposed to people who actually require that depth and that time.
Yeah, you know. I agree. Sometimes a simple explanation or a simple observation is just that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very and true. Besides, it's a lot more fun with brevity because if you're not giving so much of a description, it allows the reader or the listener to, you know, their own observations, their own perspectives.
Yeah, I'm starting to kind of try to adopt something myself with more and more with writing that I've noticed some artists that I really respect to do, which is where they might explain the situation around where they wrote the song, but they'll never explain what the song is or is about. They'll let it sit there, and whatever anybody decides to think it's about or interprets it as, that's what it is. And I think that's pretty important.
Well, I think that's true with anything that's dealing with words, is because the minute you've let your words go, the minute you've taken whatever you were feeling or you envisioned and you let it loose to someone else, you have to accept that their perceptions may not be the same as yours. They may see something in it completely different.
Absolutely. You're totally right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Stan, thank you so much. And I love the brevity of it. And the essence of the wit that was shown just now.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful format.
Of course. And you're always welcome, Stan. Thanks for everything you do for us.
My pleasure. And on to the next.
On to the next. All right. And that was Stan Kalm from Alabama. That's still one of my favorite voices. Now, we've got something exciting coming up now, though.
Yes.
We got a new caller.
Yes, we do.
This is exciting. All right. All the way from Arkansas, we have Joey. Joey, how's it going? You're on the air.
All right. It's going really good. Thank you.
All right. Happy to have you. If you don't mind me asking, how'd you hear about us?
I have two good friends that are regulars on your show.
Oh, really?
Diane Forbes Compton and Philip Matthew Roberts.
All right.
They're
really
good friends of mine.
Well, hey, they're definitely big friends of ours too. So anybody who's friends of theirs is welcome here. So what I'm going to do, Joey, is I'm going to shut up, let you read, and then when it's done, just say end piece or end poem, and we'll come back on and we'll talk for a minute, okay?
All righty.
All right, stage is yours.
All right, I call this Waiting for the End to Come. I wrote it a couple of years ago, and then I rewrote it, and I kind of think it's maybe more prevalent today than it was when I wrote it the first time. So here goes. When a man has lived his life to the fullest potential, the very best that he possibly can, he has done everything he ever wanted to, been everywhere he ever wanted to go, seen everything he wanted to see. All his hopes, wants, and dreams has been fulfilled and come true. But he stops one day and asks himself, what is there left for him to do? Has his purpose in life been fulfilled? He thinks it must be true. So he just hangs around and waiting for the end to come. He was always a simple man with simple dreams, never wanting more than he could afford or accomplish. No material things never meant anything to him. Just a roof over his head, food on the table, and he was somewhat happy and very content. Matters of the heart were most important to him. Without a purpose, life seemed to have no meaning. What was the point of being here if his purpose in life has been fulfilled? So many people touched along life's journey, so much love given out, some gave in return, but not as he would have liked. But yet he felt he had given all he had and had nothing left to give. But he came at a standstill, not moving forward or backward. So maybe time, waiting for the end to come, empty and hollow. Time stands still. It's time now, just sitting here, waiting for the end to come. He fought the good fight. Now it's time to lay it down in green pastures on the other side, just waiting for the end to come. When death comes calling and it's time for him to go, please don't mourn for him. Please don't cry. Just tell him you love him. Look up at the sky and say goodbye. When his life work is over on earth and all is done, he hopes he has left a legacy of love to everyone he's touched. End of poem.
Joey, I really enjoyed that one. Thank you, man.
Thank you for listening.
Of course. Of course. We're happy to. And you know, it's we always love having a poet with a new point of view and a new style coming on the show, and you definitely brought those things, and we'd love to invite you back. Anytime you want to call back, you're more than welcome to, okay?
Well, I will try it. I will be listening every Friday. Hey. I'll show you that.
Hey, thanks so much, Joey. We'll try to do a good show for you, and hopefully you'll be able to join in, okay? But if not, we understand.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And that was Joey calling from Arkansas. Wow. And by the way, to Stanley, I think it was Stan and Philip, right? Was that who he said?
Diane and Philip.
Diane, I'm sorry, Stan. Diane and Philip. Thank you so much for telling other poets to give us a shout. We love that. And if any of you know poets, and I know you do this anyway, but I'm just reiterating, if any of you know poets you think would be a great fit for the show, let them know. Have them give us a call. We love it, and we do appreciate that you do that already. But just a reminder. Okay, let's go now to the king of the dill pickle, Jim in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jim, it sounds like you're going to have to call us back. We're having that Skype issue again. So we'll... I'll stall. Something to stall about. What do I stall about? You know, how do I, how can I stall, JT? That's the point. How can I stall right now? That's the question. How does one stall effectively? Is it actually diverting to a real conversation, or is it just kind of like telling a story that can be interrupted at any point?
Probably a story that could be interrupted at any point.
Good idea. And let's go now to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. All right. So what do you have for us this time?
Well, I'm going to step into the shadows with.
Okay.
It's about Judas Iscariot, and it's titled 30. Blood, money, and bowels adorn the naked ground. The pursuit of penance failed. A potter's field and the tree for the self-hanged man who never sought forgiveness from the one he betrayed because he no longer believed. End of poem.
Wow. You know, I like you're working with broad themes that have so much depth to them. There's a lot of layers to it, and I really enjoy how you're going after it.
Well, I try.
I know we all do, right? We all do. But I just want to let you know I recognize it.
I guess when we write, we don't think of how it's the ultimate impact is. We just try and hope it's like, is this going to reach people, or is it going to turn them off? Is it going to, you know, because part of what I try and write is to try and, to try and at least get people thinking about Jesus.
Right.
You know, sometimes I don't really succeed. And I know sometimes it's, at least I'm kind of seeing it. Maybe I'm getting away from that myself. And I'm just wondering, you know, it's where do I need to go? Or do I need to get back, you know, to try to stay where I think I'm supposed to be doing?
That sounds like a pretty pretty familiar struggle. I know a bunch of people kind of going through that kind of thing right now. And I think as far as the stuff with basically bringing people's attention towards Jesus, towards faith, in a way it's kind of like, it reminds me of the line that all men reach and fall and reach and fall. That's really all we do. And so you don't be too hard on yourself about it is what I would say.
All right. I'll try and bear that in mind.
All right. Hey, Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later. That was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, laying down some biblical poetry on you. Actually, I had a song called 30 Pieces at one point. I wrote with Chris Durant, and now it has been transformed to the theme song of a fictional podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, and mixed with an old folk song. It's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. Now we're going to go back to South Carolina, to Bella. Hey, Bella.
I'm going to have to call back.
Yeah, Bella, if you can hear us, we're having a weird thing with Skype. We can't hear you, but if you hang up and call us right back, we'll be able to hear you just fine. Don't worry. I'll stall. I'll do a dance with the cane and everything. But just hang up and give us a call right back, okay? Call that the good radio blues. Hey, Bella.
Hi, hello.
Hello, thank you for calling us back. Sorry about that. It's a little weird tech thing that happens.
So much tech stuff happens.
So much tech stuff. It's happening right now.
We live in a world of technology.
That's right. Hey, even a stick is technology if you think about it.
Like when like people do like the water stick thing.
Or just the stick thing in general. I mean, if I use a stick to do anything, if I use a stick to fight you holding a stick, that's technology.
Just a different era.
In theory, yeah.
In theory.
There's a lot of things that work in theory. How are you holding up, Bella?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
still calming down from a party, but hanging out, getting chilled out.
All right. Sounds good. What do you have for us?
I got a Villanelle for y'all.
All right. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. As the rain falls, so do I. I feel it rushing in my ear, so it continues to flow by and by. It was a normal day in July. There it was in the roof to tear. And as the rain falls, so do I. Friends inside, as the sky did cry, on stools in front of windows they peer. So it continues to fall by and by. The oven's full with apple pie, yet still the faint smell failed to bring them here. As the rain falls, so do I. Solitaire in summer doesn't occupy, but only becomes more severe. So it continues to flow by and by. Outside it continues, not being dry, but it might get better next year. As the rain falls, so do I. So it continues, by and by. End of poem.
By and by. I like
by
that
and by.
One. I sang a song about that earlier today, actually. I really like that one, Bella. Thank you. There's a cool flavor to your work.
There's something really cool about, I actually do a lot of Villanelle work. There's something so cool of working in these strict parameters and making so many different things out of it.
Absolutely. I think the confines really help you be more creative in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big
one. It's so much fun, but just doing Villanelles and doing like very strict poetry is an adventure in itself.
I totally agree. Bella, thanks so much. And we hope to talk with you next time, okay?
Definitely.
All right, cool. We'll come down from the party, relax, chill out, and we'll see you next time, okay? All right, see ya. And that was Bella calling from South Carolina. She's still chilling out after a party. I understand. I'm still chilling out from a party several years ago. I think that was one of the last times I was truly intoxicated. And my brother, David, was driving me back home. And there's a story he loves to tell, which is where he's trying to keep me awake.
Yeah.
I'm in the passenger seat, obviously. He's totally fine. And he goes, Michael, know any good jokes? And apparently, it was literally a 2 to 3 minute pause. And then I said, nope. He will never let me forget that moment. Okay. Yeah, go figure. Let's go down to Mary in Arizona, see how she's doing. Mary, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the Spain. You better explain the situation. Please give us a call back. As she's doing that, she already knows. The moment I go from a really bad Henry Higgins into Ricky Ricardo, she knows. Either that or she's calling the ambulance.
Might be. Mary's just got to call back.
He's having
because
a
we're having Skype problems.
Lucy, you got a lot of Spain, not rain in the Spain on the plane.
Wow.
Okay. Hey, Mary, how's it going?
I did not do that.
No, you did not.
Okay, I think JT might have forced it.
I had
to
force it because I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, he gets a little devious about that kind of thing sometimes.
Oh, look at you all being fussy on each other.
Oh, no. You know what's funny? We actually play fussy with each other on the radio. We're actually never that way,
no,
personally.
You can't. Nah. No, this is too late in the night to talk about fussy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Perfect. So what do you have for us now?
I have a little writing.
Okay.
I have a little writing. Here we go. One in some of the deepest things. One in some of the deepest things and pains I've come to know upon this earth here with all of you is I cannot change someone just because I will them to and strive them to and guide them to and help them to in my own feeble way until I'm drowning in love and pain and rapture and all that for them and then I forget me. Love is transient sometimes
like tender icicles found on windows in the cold countries. The north and westerly wind facing directions, they melt finely in the sun and fade into memories kept deep, tucked inside jars and crevasses. Like you when you found me. Like I when I found you. And then I loved you, and oh, how I loved you and adored you. And still do in some way, but now I know you a bit more. And no, I cannot really have you because humans are not meant to have each other endlessly. I'm happy just to see your soul before me naked. Now, like me, we have no form, no format, at least when I'm in my thoughts. That is what my love for you is for. I'm so thankful for that, though you are gone from me now. I know I have known you, and that makes me richer. And I'll never forget you. No, I shall not. Isn't that part of why we are all here? To feel all that. And poem.
The honesty once again. Mary, it's just a pleasure to hear your writing. Thank you.
Oh, I love you guys. Hugs for all. Come on.
All right. I'm trying to hug myself. I have a problem accepting accepting affection, including for myself. So this is weird, but I'm trying.
All right. A bubble bath. I say goodnight. And adieu. And next week, I see you too.
All right.
Sounds great.
Oh, that rhymed. You hear that? Okay.
Don't say it. I'm such a bad poet. Bad poet.
No, it's good stuff. You're good.
There's no such thing as a bad poet. All right.
Yeah,
good night.
Yeah, yeah. Good night.
Good night. Well, maybe there is such a thing as a bad poet.
They're called Vogons.
Of course, that's where you go.
What?
JT.
I'm sorry.
And I know we're a few years off. When you turn 42,
yeah,
we got to throw a big party.
We will.
Because it's the answer to everything.
That's right.
All right. Maybe it's a towel party. No, actually, we don't want anyone to interpret that the way it's going to sound.
Yeah, no. Let's not have that happen. But yes, we'll have something that correlates to...
Okay, no. Can I show up in a towel?
Sure.
All right. What if I have a towel? I wrap a towel around like my waist or whatever, and then I accidentally have it fall off, and underneath is a smaller towel. That's funny. Or I make shorts out of an actual towel.
There you go.
See, and it's
that would be better.
It's like a Russian nesting doll, except it's a towel, and it just
a towel inside of a towel.
And then maybe you find out I was never really there at all.
Whoa.
Yeah. That would blow your mind. Let's now go to Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio.
Who's going to have to call back because we're having Skype issues.
Yeah, so Mama, can you just give us a call right back? I'm sorry about that. It's a Skype problem. And, yep, there we go.
Perfect.
Okay, cool. So we know what's going down
so
now.
So weird, though.
Works. Hey, Mama, how's it going?
Okay, same as it was going a few minutes ago, only a little better because I heard a lot of good poetry. And I'm enjoying myself.
Good.
As I do every Friday.
Good.
On. What's the name of the show?
World Poetry Open Mic.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. So, I have decided to read one of my first poems that I put on online in my group called Poetry Soup. And since I've been on here, like maybe almost 10 years, I guess I wrote this 10 years ago. It's called Five Tomatoes Away. Five tomatoes away from devastation. The bullies bully me. They give big breaks to corporations while taking unfair shares from citizens and cutting down on pensions and social security. I have no security. The Arab store on the corner is selling wine, beer, and cigarettes, sending their tax-free money home to fight against our boys. His taxes are deferred, and when time comes to pay, the business is now switched into his cousin's name. One tomato is $2. So I'm five tomatoes away, and I haven't had a salad today.
I am being raped while they are getting breaks. I get reprimanded severely. They are always shaking my tree. I said I have no money. I'm not living here tax-free. The levy goes into effect on the 30th day. So I budget sparingly, and I've had no salad today. I'm 5 tomatoes away from homelessness and devastation. I wish I had a big break like the corporations. One day before I leave this planet, I hope to find dignity and eat a salad every day and live life healthily, never again having to worry about being 5 tomatoes away. See, getting old around here is horrible. My senior year is unpleasant. I paid my dues to the IRS. Now they want another present. I hope to survive another day while they tax my pension, and so I pray. Let me eat another salad in spite of being 5 tomatoes away. So, yes, I've had no tomatoes. I've had no tomatoes today. In peace.
That was, yeah, that was really cool. I mean, it's like a lot of dimensions there. I really enjoyed that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I love the sing at the end. We have no tomatoes today.
Yeah. That was an old song. Yes, I've had no.
Oh, bananas. Yeah.
Yeah, bananas.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. I know. I'm familiar. I'm familiar.
You're too young to be familiar. How you remember that?
Oh, no. Mama, I dig through. You got to understand, I played in a band that played songs that were all written before, like, 1950. I mean, like, I go on a deep dive into music. I study the past a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you. And, yes, that's really, you know, this is back then and still now, this is really nothing's changing. These taxes, you know, we're getting taxed to death. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, people come over from other countries and start businesses, and they don't pay any taxes. And then when it's time to pay taxes, they change it into somebody else's name, and the cycle keeps going. And we just keep getting, you know. So tomatoes have went up, and now they are putting the fish dung into the tomatoes with the GMO. It's like everything is just, you know, crazy these days. So, yes, I've had no tomatoes.
All right. All right.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
All right. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. That was a really important piece. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now we're going to go to
Chris. Needs
Chris,
to call
who
first.
Needs to call in? Yeah. Chris from Lansing.
He would have to call anyway because we had a Skype issue.
That's right. So we're it's not really
nothing new.
Nothing new. Nothing new. Here he is.
Sorry, startled me.
All right,
there he is.
All right, Chris, how's it going? Back for round two.
Oh, so you finally got to 200, huh?
Yep, finally got to 200.
Mama, that was a good voice.
Yeah.
Enjoyed. So we got history, or we got history. History number one is self-illusion. History number two is Memorex. Memorex is really karma-ridden. So, which would you guys prefer, self-illusion or Memorex?
JT, I'm going to leave that up to you. What do you think?
I think self would probably be better.
Way to go. Good choice. And it was even about a Friday. Friday, March 27th, 2009. History on MySpace. Remember MySpace, guys? Way back then. Self-illusion. Current mood? Quiet. Category?
writing and poetry. Cold coffee, it's a chilly day. Leeches the heat from everything, even me. I almost wish, I do wish that a living telemarketer will call. That the doorbell will ring. That the screen door will open and a knock will sound. That the radio will fade into nothingness. That the TV will lose the sat link. That a moment of reality will somehow intrude. You know, it's easy to get lost within your own thoughts. So easy to just let them flow and go where they will. But when you get there, then what? I don't want to sing to myself and yet tunes float within, demanding to become tonals flowing from lips. Cold coffee still. I could make more, I could, but then I'd have to move, have to have a reason to move. I want to get up and move. And then I just find myself here afterwards, watching the hot coffee become chilled. Damn, not a good day in Mudville, I guess. But then again, it's Friday. Yeah, and the weekend is about here. Good night, guys. Hope you like that one.
It was good, Chris.
We did.
We did enjoy that.
We laughed quite a bit at the living telemarketer line. That
oh my
very
goodness.
True.
So true.
Yeah, they got robo telemarketers.
Oh, I know.
Yep. Yeah.
I can only imagine that it has
really
to work.
But they're really fun when you get it on voicemail.
Yeah,
you know.
I know.
And you call back. You just have to call back at least once.
Okay.
You get the press one for, and press two for. Oh, and if you don't speak English, press three.
Oh, of course. Chris, thanks a lot.
Anyway.
We loved it. It was great. Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
Hey, you
Take
too.
Care.
You too. Thanks. And that was Chris calling from Lansing, Michigan, rounding out our return engagement set. So next week, we will be back with the reveal.
And we here in Colorado are jumping an hour up.
No.
Not time slot. It's just we're
okay,
springing forward.
Yeah.
I did it totally wrong, didn't I?
Yeah, you're yeah.
Sorry.
So essentially what we're doing is we're going to be getting up an hour earlier,
Ugh.
Which means, oh, come on, just go to bed earlier. It's fine.
I like staying up.
I know. All right. But so basically, if you're in a place where the time doesn't change, anticipate it being an hour earlier. I know that's really rough on Titus and stuff, too. But that's kind of how it works. So it will be changing by an hour because of daylight savings. Just letting everybody know.
Yeah.
Now, we're also, just so everybody knows, and we'll have it on the calendar as well if it's not already there, the next night we will be taking off. We decided to go a little bit, like I think 1 week longer than normal.
I think, yeah.
Because we traditionally take Good Friday off the show,
yep.
which is the Friday before Easter, and we will be doing the same again this
yes.
week. Or not this week, this month. So, so just so everybody knows, we're taking Good Friday off, and we're going to be an hour earlier next week. So, you know, little things. But, of course, if people haven't heard and they come on, we'll still be in full swing, and they'll know what's going on. So, from myself, from JT, from Ursa, the studio dog, and Novia, the studio cat. From all of the spirits and Andy, the intern skeleton, and Studio X, we would like to wish you all a wonderful evening. Have a great week. And until next time, keep writing.